The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Westbrook with 8 on the shot clock from way behind the three-point line, and he knocks it down.
Okay, I'm going to analyze that later. But right now, he lost with a huge bucket.
Middays on the Score.
Let's talk some buckets with none other than Joe Cowley. He is at Suntimes underscore hoops on Twitter, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Joe Cowley.
Fellas, how you guys doing?
Doing well. I'm just so excited. Man, you know that it is red-hot summer league action when Cameron Payne is lighting people up and the NBA is tweeting about it.
Exactly. I mean, a couple of years ago it was Jimmer Fredette. Now it's Cameron Payne's turn.
We saw Jackson Hayes throw it down. I don't know who Michael Mulder is, and now everybody knows. It was a beatdown for the Bulls last night, but that dunk from Jackson Hayes, the kid out of Texas, over Michael Mulder was unbelievable. And then Kobe White looked pretty good in that game, too.
Yeah, he's just not a point guard yet, and I don't know if he'll ever be a point guard. And when they drafted him, they called him a point guard. So that's what I have a problem with. He's not a point guard. The best point guard on the team right now is Zach LaVine. So, that's an issue. I get what they're looking for and what they're trying to do. I will say this. This is the first offseason in probably 4 or 5 years where they actually had a plan at the start of the offseason, and they've executed that plan as far as the personnel they want. Usually the front office and the coaching staff had a big disconnect, and the front office just kind of grabbed what they wanted, and it was all head-scratching. Well, this year it actually seemed to sink. And, I think the best quote so far of the summer league was Jim Boylan saying, okay, well, now we've got to make it work. I mean, I got the guys, the type of guys I wanted. I got guys that are redundant, as he called them, as far as the system, where if you're going from a Wendell Carter and he gets injured, and then you got to bring Robin Lopez in, you've got to play a whole different type of defense because of the skill set difference between the two and the offensive skill set between the two, so you had to change things on the fly, and it was just confusion, especially for a young team. So now they feel like they have redundant players that they could plug in, and they have a system in place that they want to establish, and we'll see if it works. I mean, that's the best way to sum it up.
It's interesting that you say that Zach LaVine would be the best point guard at the moment, because they have at least nominally any number of people that can play that position. With the re-signing of Ryan Arcidiacono to, I think it's a 2+1, and the acquisition of Thomas Satoransky, Chris Dunn is obviously the odd man out, but they can't say that he is because they're keeping his value up for the inevitable trade. Has his value declined, or has it maintained through all these other acquisitions?
Well, the reason there's value is because he's fiscally a nice fit for teams, and then you don't have to commit to him if he doesn't work. So it's just that's what you're selling right now. Is, hey, maybe a third team in 4 years is what this kid needs, and maybe it will click for him. Because right now I've talked to people, he's checked out. He's checked out. So, he's there in Vegas now, but his agent and he are both kind of checked out. And that's the concerning thing, because his makeup and what he preaches is, I'm a dog, you're going to have to pry a starting job for me. But now this is the second off season where there's kind of been flags raised on, does he really want to be here? Is he angry that last year they brought Trae Young into camp and for a pre-draft workout, and it ticked done off. And then there were some poor workouts from him where he kind of just half-assed the weight room aspect of a training block. And, I reported that. And, obviously he was ticked, and he and I talked about it at the beginning of the year, and he wanted names. I mean, that was what he asked from me. Who said it? And, I'm like, I'm not giving up my sources, bro. But, and the Bulls did their best to spin it and try and deny it. But look, now you can't deny how he feels. And I've talked to people, and he's checked out, and that's a concern. So they're trying to say the right things, but I think they are actively trying to find a good place for him. Because he's the type of guy, look, he's not going to let Kobe White, even though they share the same agent and there's all that kumbaya talk, I'm telling you, he's not wired like that. If Kobe White comes into camp, Chris Dunn is a fighter. There will be problems, and it might even escalate to something bigger. So, and there's been some Bulls personnel that have even said that to me, that, yeah, that is a concern, because this kid makeup is not to just lay over and say, okay, I'll let this rook have my job, or Santoransky have my job, or, you know. So I think it'd be best for them to make sure there's no distractions and go ahead and do their best to move him.
So that's not something they think they even want to try and harness then in a camp? Because in some cases you could see that kind of motivation, I guess, working out well, but in right. this case you're saying not so much.
But that's going to be a high wire act, I think, between motivation, competition, and just flat out, I'm pissed off, and I'm going to go ahead, and this kid's going to get a hard foul going to the rack. I mean, so it's a fine line with Chris Dunn. So I think that's something. Look, they're not just going to give him away, especially as much as they were beating their chest after the Jimmy Butler trade. As far as, you know, he was part of the core. Well, now he's not part of the core. So now you're down to two pieces of that core instead of three that you gave away for Jimmy. So they're not just going to give him away, but they are actively looking to move him to a place where they at least get some kind of asset back.
It's clear that the Bulls have worked to make their coaching infrastructure more representative of a real NBA team rather than just have insular hangers-on and legacies on that bench. That now they've got a guy in Chris Fleming who is well-regarded as an offensive mind,
right.
a guy in Roy Rogers, respected as was a veteran player and a defensive coach. Propping Boylan up a little bit, obviously, because the guy needs some solid guys around him. What do we know right. about the dynamic there, and how much latitude are those assistants going to have on their respective sides of the ball?
You know, so far, the staff, I mean, that was one thing that a couple people have said, not just people with the Bulls. It's just kind of been a really good mesh of give and take. And, you know, Jim doesn't – the one thing I'll say about Jim Boylan, he doesn't have to walk out of the room feeling he's the smartest guy that was there.
Good.
And he, you know, he even said, he'll goof around and say, you know, he's kind of like a football coach, and he has that kind of mentality and that kind of culture. And so I think, you know, he also knows a little bit more about basketball than I think people have given him credit for. I think he wanted that was one of the things as they were negotiating the contract is, he wanted an upgrade in the staff. It wasn't like the Bulls said, you have to upgrade the staff. He wanted an upgrade in the staff, and he wanted some say in who those guys would be. And he did his homework on it. I mean, he called around to different teams. And the one thing Jim does is he does communicate with other coaches and other personnel people from other organizations to keep tabs on whether it's coaches or players. So he does play that game well. And maybe that's for his own benefit. But also I think it's for the benefit of the team. I mean, so, you know, he did his homework, and those are the guys he came up with, and we've had a chance to talk to them, and it seems like as of right now, things are going great, where last year I thought that Jim, when he took over and made those immediate coaching changes, it was almost like a Game of Thrones where, okay, who could be a guy if this doesn't go well for me because I don't have an extension, or I haven't been named the man. I'm not interim, but I am interim. Who would be a threat to me? Randy Brown? You know, this guy, a lot of people like him. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reassign where he sits, and I'm going to put him in the back row and see how Randy likes that. And, of course, there was ego involved, and Randy stepped down. And then you look at the remaining staff, there's no threats. You know what I mean? So I think there was a little bit of that where this year, the fact that they're working on an extension – freed him up to say, okay, I don't have to worry about this throne being taken necessarily, so I'm going to go ahead and look for the most talented assistant coaches.
Talking Bulls with Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. What more do we know for sure, Joe, if anything, about the contracts that Thad Young and Tomas Satoransky, the third years that, and how much is guaranteed there? How well positioned might the Bulls be cap-wise at a big-time free agent in 21?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be set there. I mean, you just look at with Otto Porter. I mean, obviously he's going to pick up the player option next year at,
yeah.
you know, was it $28 million? I mean, he'd be, you know, it'd be ridiculous not to. So yeah, and then Satoransky, I think it's $5 million guaranteed that last year, and the rest comes off. I think Young has kind of a similar deal where some of it, you know, half of it is guaranteed, some of it comes off. So yeah, I mean, they're going to be set. And that's kind of the new plan. And I know people are tired of hearing it, but that's the plan, is that Lowry and Zach have a runway now to take off. it's on them. And I will say, at least Boylan says it's on him, too, to make sure that they do take off. And then they're going to go ahead and look to add help from there and try and grab that superstar then. Because, you know, they can sit there and preach team and preach, you know, redundant players and more depth on the bench right now. But we all know what the NBA is. You got to have stars. Mm. And they're hoping that Lowry or Zach or both become stars, and then you add one more when the contracts all come off after two seasons. So this roster is pretty much locked for this year and next year, barring a trade. So people better get used to this personnel because this is what it is. And we'll see if this rebuild actually has some legs to it.
And the Westbrook rumors are just Twitter silliness, right?
Yeah, I would be shocked. He's not the type of player Jim Boylan wants to coach. He's not the type of player that I think they are trying to establish from a culture standpoint and also from, you know, and here's the thing. You can debate his game all you want, but there's a reason guys are leaving there, and there's a reason that he is considered tough to play with, whether it's the fake tough guy stuff or the sometime obsession with the triple-double. And I will say this, most of his triple-doubles have resulted in victories. I know someone did a stat on that when he triple-doubles, they're a better team for it. But it's just sometimes the way it looks and the way it comes across and the fact that, you know, it's the last couple of years he's had all these great numbers and then you're out by the second round. So when John Paxson came out and blew this thing up and said, we're tired of mediocrity and we're tired of, we don't want Jimmy Butler just to be the face moving forward and him build this roster. We want to build this towards a championship. Does Russ do that? You know, who does he make better besides Russ? So that's what I have a problem with, and I don't think the Bulls are interested at all in dipping their toes in that pool. I mean, I think that's just more of a social media fabrication.
I need Russ and Jimmy together in Miami.
That is a, is
I
a,
need
a
it,
show.
Joe.
That is a reality show that I would want 24/7. I would just want cameras up just on those two because it could work really well.
Could.
It could be really bad, really quick. Because Jimmy appreciates hard-playing players, and Russ is that. But there's just also a way of the whole alpha thing. And if someone would find out who's about that life, and it'd be interesting to see who it would be.
I'm going to say something odd here, but I mean it. I'm not saying this just to say it. I'm going to miss Shaq Harrison because
I don't think that's odd.
I developed a real enjoyment in watching him do anything but shoot. I understand he can't shoot, but man, his activity, his athleticism, his defense, I really enjoyed watching him play sometimes.
I mean, look. That's not odd at all. And the hope is he somehow gets through waivers and somehow ends back on this team. I don't know how, from a fit standpoint, just from a roster count, it's going to happen. But there is hope that he somehow, that they want him back somehow. I'm anxious to see how it looks. There's two contracts right now that they can't hide from. The Blakeney contract and
Felicio
contract. And those are really big roadblocks into them having what they would feel is a finished roster. And they may just eat the Blakeney one. I mean, it's not that bad. So they may eat that one to get Shaq through waivers. Who knows? There's no doubt that those two roster spots and those two guaranteed contracts right now are the big roadblocks for them feeling really good about the roster going into the season.
So let's talk about fit then and swing back to something we started with. If Coby White's not a point guard, and let's just be nice about it, let's just say yet, is it a good developmental idea at this point to shift him back and forth with Satoransky, with, I don't know, Archie Diakono or something like that, and have him play off-ball two-guard type stuff, or would you only want him in, you know, only in quotes, as true point guard so he learns that position?
Or could he be a Lou Williams type? Could he just be like, when you're going to be a second-unit, sixth-man guy, go get yours and take the ball and score?
I think that's exactly what the plan is initially, and then, you know, give him moments with the second team to run the point, see how he does. Give him moments with the first team to play off the ball because he can catch and shoot. I mean, that's one thing he was good at. You know, it doesn't look like it right now. The three-point line is kind of, I think, in his head right now. on the NBA 3-point line. So, but I think that's eventually the plan with him, is to develop him that way and see if he could eventually take over that point guard spot. So, you know, I mean, there are some things that are still unanswered. I mean, you know, at the draft, I know Darius Garland. There was at least six NBA teams that I've talked to or heard from that the medicals on Darius Garland were awful.
Hmm.
Awful. And so there was this idea that the Bulls are going to trade up and get this guy. Even some people with the Cavs are saying he might not be ready for December. And then he's already, you know, there's some things off the court, too, that have some teams kind of raising their eyebrows with that kid. So I understand that the point guards went quick, and they were kind of in a bind, and they took the best available in their mind. But I think that's the best way to develop them. And, you know, the people that are kind of kicking at the Bulls, why didn't you trade up a spot or two and go after Garland? Well, I think we're starting to hear why, and it's not just from the Bulls. It's from multiple teams that are saying the medicals on his knee came back really red flag. And so, you know, I think people could kind of calm down on that. And, you know, maybe he comes back early and he's actually good and it was all, you know, much to do about nothing. But I don't think the Bulls were an organization that could gamble on a bad knee with their history of bad knees. So, you know, I get that. But so I get why White was picked. And now, you know, you guys brought up a great point of how to develop him. I think that's the plan, is to kind of let him just go get his, be himself, and slowly let him transition into that point guard and see if he can handle it from a decision-making and playmaking standpoint.
Are there minutes available for Daniel Gafford in real games?
Yes, because there has been a fragility with that front court and that needed to be addressed. I mean, look, Robin was gone. Chris is basically unplayable. So, and Wendell Carter is having surgery today. And it's kind of exploratory surgery. They know it's something in the muscle core. They are leaning towards a sports hernia, but, you know, until we get final word on what it was, which, you know, I don't know if that's been announced yet, there is some mystery behind his availability. So, yes, there will be minutes, and I think there'll be multiple minutes for because this lineup is a little more versatile. You know, Denzel Valentine, that foot is not healing like they thought. So don't expect, you know, I wrote that in today's paper, that there's a mystery around his timetable, too. He might not be ready for the start of training camp with that foot, considering the way he's been practicing with the team in Vegas and the blocks, the practice blocks they've had with the veterans. So don't count on him right away either. So, yes, this kid has a raw skill set that they really like, kind of like a younger, little slimmer DeAndre Jordan, just where it's just raw power and it's just very it's not a sophisticated game by any means. It's just around the rim, dunk, and block your shot, and look how fast I will run and rim run to the other side. So he does have a very specific skill set, but, it could be useful, especially with the second team. So he's already better than Felicio. So, I mean, there's that. So it's just a matter of, will those minutes be there because of injury, or will he force his way into more minutes?
We cleared a lot of low bars here today, Joe. Really appreciate it, man.
No problem, boys.
That is Joe Colley of the Chicago Sun-Times, brought to you by the Chicago Dogs. Tickets now on sale for the Chicago Dogs. Bring your dog this Wiener Wednesday for Bark at the Ballpark with $2 hot dogs. Come Thursday, this Thirsty Thursday, for $2 domestic cans and post-game fireworks. Tickets at thechicagodogs.com. The Chicago Dogs, baseball with everything.
Mm-hmm. Think of all the low bars we cleared with Joe today. He's more athletic than Cristiano Felicio.
Jim Boylan isn't the kind of guy who has to be the smartest guy in the room.
Which is good, because we could be here all day. Like, it's good. That's good. There was
everyone
another one.
Everyone has left the room, Jim.
It's another.
You're now the smartest guy.
Low bar.
Oh,
I can't remember what it is. God, it's just so...
Go Bears!
I don't even like myself for that. It's just out there, so you got to take it.
When we come back, I have some kind words to say about a baseball player you've maybe never heard of, but you've kind of heard of him.
Machado?
That's the guy.
By the time I get done paying tribute to this guy, you'll be like, oh, yeah, That guy.
All right.
He went out with a bang.
We'll deal with that guy, and we've also got a little bit of news from Tony Clark, the Players Union president, saying a few crazy things at the All-Star break, how he wants baseball to change. Bernstein McKnight, 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He is so amazing. I wish I could know him more, you know, because he is one of a kind, you know. I think about him all the time. And, well, I'm wondering, should we kill him?
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th for group and season tickets. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. I want to congratulate a baseball player on a fine career as he has chosen to retire and take up a new line of work. The guy I'm talking about is named Cody Decker.
Cody Decker.
You ever heard of Cody Decker?
Feel like I have.
You do, right?
Yeah. I mean, Cody Decker is a pretty baseball-y name.
It's a very baseball-y name.
cup of coffee kind of guy?
Very much a cup of coffee. Eight games in the major leagues.
That is a cup of coffee is what it is.
He's played 1,000-plus professional games.
Okay. Outfielder?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. He's one of those guys. He plays anywhere you can put him because he's trying to make a living.
32 years old. He played 8 major league games with the Padres, and he goes out as the active home run leader among minor leaguers.
Crash Davis.
He was a 22nd round pick by the Padres back in 2009. He's been in the Rockies, Royals, Red Sox, and Mets organizations. These are the teams that he's played for since being drafted. I'll do this quickly.
Perfect.
Fort Wayne, Lake Elsinore, San Antonio, the Padres Arizona team, Tucson, San Antonio, El Paso, Culiacan of the Mexican League. There's the Padres for 8 games in 2015, El Paso, Omaha, Albuquerque, Portland, Margarita of the Venezuelan League, Las Vegas, Binghamton, back to Culiacan, Reno, Jackson, Jalisco, and then Reno once again.
Wow.
Well.
And yesterday was his final ever plate appearance in the bottom of the ninth. The Reno Aces down one against Sacramento with a runner on.
Here comes the pitch. Swing and a drive hit to deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone. It's gone. The Aces win. Cody Decker with a game-winning 2-run home run. And the Aces have walked off Sacramento. 10-9 is the final. Decker jumps on top of home plate, and his teammates jump on him. Unbelievable. Decker walking towards the dugout. He's going with a forearm bash. He's hugging his coaches, hugging his teammates. What a moment for Cody Decker.
He's one of the more interesting men in the world. Cody Decker is retiring after that plate appearance to take a job back in El Paso, where he had been playing AAA ball in El Paso. He is going to live and work there as the development director for an association to help at-risk kids in the area get involved in.
Wow.
So that's going to be his life now. He just married Jennifer Sturger, who you'll remember as the woman at the center of the Brett Favre photograph controversy and the full Florida State thing, who worked with the Jets.
She was a Jets reporter, yeah.
Correct. And that is his wife. He is the same guy who pulled a practical joke on Jeff Francoeur back in 2014. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, yeah!
He was a film minor at UCLA. He was a star at UCLA. And when he was playing in El Paso for the first month of the season, he convinced Jeff Francoeur that their teammate Jorge Reyes was deaf.
And Reyes was involved in the prank, and he made a movie out of it. He had cameras posted there, so he made a movie called On Jeff Ears that was designed to reveal the truth to Frank Gore. So he was doing this just to entertain himself. He was also the member of Team Israel that decided to purchase the 5-foot-tall mascot Mensch on the bench.
No.
Do you remember the guy
yes,
they had? It's like the Hasidic looking guy. Cody Decker was the guy behind Mensch on the bench.
Wow.
And his quote about it, he was asked about it.
A Jew.
And he said, he's a mascot, he's a friend, he's a teammate, he's a borderline deity to our team. He brings a lot to the table. Every team needs their Joe Boo. He was ours. He had his own locker. We gave him offerings of Manischewitz, gelt, and gefilte fish. And now this, he's everywhere and nowhere all at once.
He runs good, and I mean above average.
His actual location is irrelevant because he exists in a higher metaphysical plane, but he's always near.
It's a hell of a scouting report for who's your guy.
Right, exactly. In space, right? Those are some positives for you right
wow.
there. But Cody Decker is just, he's a fascinating dude who's had a fascinating career. Oh, and there's more.
What?
Do you remember when, just a couple weeks ago, Adam Eaton came out and said these minor leaguers are better off not being able to eat all that well because
yes.
it motivated me?
As I do.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was Cody Decker who tweeted, Adam Eaton is a delusional a-hole.
Yep. I want him on the show.
Yeah.
I what a guy. I had no idea. If you go to his baseball reference page, the nickname, you know, it's got his whole bio and everything. Born January 17, 1987, Santa Monica, California, like you say, University of California. You go down to the nicknames. His nickname, according to Baseball Reference, is Anti-Hero.
That's his nickname.
That's his nickname. He is Anti-Hero.
Maybe
that's
because of the
baseball nickname.
Maybe it was the IPA.
It's got to be. Maybe it was.
He's put away a bunch of those.
I had forgotten. Shoot, I wish I'd remember this when Frank Coeur was doing his whole thing on the broadcast. Frank Coeur was the guy that got duped by this video.
Yep.
Cody Decker was able to convince Jeff Frank Coeur that he had a deaf teammate and did it for a month. That kind of tells you a little bit about Jeff Frank Coeur.
Yeah, and if you want to follow him on Twitter, which I now do, because anybody this interesting must be a Twitter follow, he is at Decker6. And you're right, we got to find him. Now that he's joining the private sector, he probably should have, you know, working a 9-to-5. He'll have some time on his hands. But he just seems absolutely fascinating. And to go out like that, what an interesting baseball career to have the 8 games in the majors and 1,000 games elsewhere.
I wonder if he's the kind of guy that would want to write a book. I wonder if he's the kind of guy like Dirk Hayhurst that would want to write like the Bullpen Bible or Bullpen Chronicles. I can't remember which one it was.
We had Dirk on a couple times. He's fabulous.
Dirk was great. Dirk was great. Just wasn't the baseball analysis and the broadcast wasn't, I guess, for him necessarily. So he's moved on, I think, from that role as a full-time guy. But boy, is he fun to talk baseball. He was, Cody Decker was, 0-for-11. In his 8 big league games with the Padres, 12 plate appearances, did have an RBI.
He did drive one in.
Did have an RBI. Yep. 5 strikeouts, too. So tough to strike him out in those. Okay, not that tough to strike him out in those limited innings. That's pretty fascinating, really, is what it is. That's really cool. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, have you seen what's going on with the open media session with Tony Clark, the executive director of the Baseball Players Union?
Because they're talking right now. It's not just the NFL that is trying to get into a current collective bargaining agreement. Baseball's trying to figure some things out, and it does sound like there's still a ways to go, but the fact that the dialogue is going on is a good sign.
Let me just read you a couple things. Eric Fisher of the Sports Business Journal has said this. From Director Tony Clark, we are interested in restoring meaningful free agency. The union is, and this is Fisher's words, the union is beginning an unprecedented round of midterm bargaining with the league. Uncertainty is where those talks would go, but there are a number of things on the table. Among them, ending service time manipulation for rookie players, an ability for players to better match their market worth, and better marketing for players. There are some other much more radical things that Clark has put out there. We'll get into those in just a minute before we get into Lawrence Holmes and transition and whatnot. But boy, there are some things on the table that make me worry about baseball's future.
Yeah, I'm also concerned that they're not doing it right in that you're not going to have meaningful free agency. What you can do is try to get more money for younger players.
But you can try.
They're not going to give up control. They're not going to give up the arbitration process and player control.
Yeah, there's a couple of things here that seem a bit screwy. Maybe we can set them straight in a few minutes here. We got Lawrence Holmes and Transition coming up in just a few as well. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Thanks to our Joes, Joe Sheehan and Joe Cowley, for their contribution to Joe Day. Thanks to Kevbo for the updates, Brian Gertz with the video feed, Camp and Anderson Diaz, the producers. Tomorrow, in the middle of the All-Star break, we will talk about the All-Star game. We actually will be watching it together, in fact.
Yeah, we are. We're going to hang out a little bit tonight.
It's a beer night tonight.
It is a beer night.
You're going to like this place, by the way.
Yeah, I've never been. I appreciate you putting on the list.
I've not been
and do certainly enjoy the ability to have a couple of different styles throughout the evening.
Yes,
Dan, you're lowering yourself to having a beer?
What do you mean?
You're always Captain Wine.
Yeah, but not at this place. You don't go to this place and drink wine.
Oh, okay. This place,
it's known for its fascinating selection of especially German styles of beer.
Tomorrow, we may have to sort out a couple of things Tony Clark has said today about what the union needs in Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, is talking now and offering his rebuttal. It's just crazy. Among the things, just to set Lawrence Holmes up with this for his show, Tony Clark says he actually wants to put on the table the idea of ending Major League Baseball's draft. Good luck with that, pal. Like, if you're going to start that far to the left on things, I don't know how you're going to find a middle ground. I just continue to worry that the union is going to get steamrolled in this thing and not realize it and cause us like a season's worth of no baseball. I'm terrified of it. Absolutely terrified.
That's what you're worried. You're worried about not having baseball.
Oh, yeah. I'm worried that that nothing's going to come to actual fruition here. And despite hiring guys like Chris Capuano to help advise Tony Clark, that we are going to be mired in a season-long or maybe even worse lockout after the CBA expires. And I can't have that. My baseball season needs to happen.
Yeah, apparently Manfred is responding to Justin Verlander. Baseball has done nothing, given no direction for an alteration of the baseball. I believe him.
But he did also say that if they change the baseball to something that's a little more dead, we'll let you know first.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's
real good work. Yeah.
Lawrence Holmes is going to join us next. Keep it here for Transition on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.